Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
There is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of ages. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. There is no rock, there is no God like our God.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you that we have this opportunity today, that we can gather in your name, that we can hear your words, that we can gain the understanding that you have for us today. And Lord, we just thank you for the ability to have another day so that we can learn your word. So that we can understand, so that we can walk forward in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ready?
Put on the mind of Jesus Christ and walk in his word, walk in his word. Put on the mind of Jesus Christ. Walk in the power of his word. Put on the mind of Jesus Christ and walk in his ways, and walk in his ways. Put on the mind of Jesus Christ and walk in the power of his ways. Put on the mind of Jesus Christ and walk in his way, and walk. heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy.
You are holy. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Beautiful day. Beautiful songs. Beautiful opportunity. There's been some messages already put out today that if you didn't happen to hear them, I'd invite you to go back and listen to them. One that I felt spoke directly to me was Ricky's today. I saw that there's a lot of times where I fall off and I start thinking about the work that I am to be doing for the Lord, not as a privilege, but as a work, as a job, something that I must do, whether I feel like it or not. And there's times when it's not a good thing for me to get into that mindset, or anybody else to get into that mindset. Because we lose the point at which it is a joy to do the things for Jesus' ministry. And it's a sad thing. Because when it becomes a job or a work, it's easy to get tied up. It's easy to get brought down. It's easy to start nitpicking and looking at the tiny things that are worldly things that'll pull you away from Jesus Christ. The things of Jesus are so much above all the things of man. Praise God. Because we can fall so short so many different times. And I have to thank God every morning for His grace and His mercy to give me the chance, to give me the privilege to be able to start another day and work towards that perfection to become as Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth. It's a privilege. It's an honor to get the chance to try again. And you never know when that last time is. So you need to grasp each day, each time that you're allowed to come together and to serve Jesus Christ through His ministry, whether it's doing physical labor or whether it's standing up here and speaking the things that come on your mind to deliver a message or to just talk to that one person on the street as you're directed, so that they can learn the truth, so that they can have life. You know, all of us thought before we ever found the Lord that we had life, didn't we? You know, we had our good times, we had our bad times. They kind of equal out. No, they don't. They never equal out. Because that path only leads to destruction. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, we can overcome that. We can rely on His faith and His strength and His mercy and His love. And we, as He did, can overcome the world. Life is a beautiful thing in some respects. But life in Jesus Christ is without bounds. You can't even call it beauty because it's beyond beauty. It's everything. I invite you to examine your mindset. Examine your thoughts. Thank the Lord each morning when you wake up that you have the opportunity and the chance and the privilege for another day to learn His ways. Amen.
My God. lifted up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I missed Rick's message, but Rick and I were chatting about something that I think he ended up talking about in his message today. And it's actually, I think, a theme I hit on last week as well, and the concept of being a servant and a service. And we call Jesus Lord. It's kind of what Bob was talking about. And when we call Jesus Lord, that means He is the ruler of our life. Now, why would you do that? You would only do that if you believe that his life that he has for you is better than your life and the life that you can have out here in the world. And one of the things is, it was interesting, you know, as a minister, one of the struggles you have in dealing with people is that people so often look to you, and getting them to lift their sights higher past you to the Lord can be tough sometimes. I've actually had people get furious with me for years on end simply for doing that, and stand in judgment of me for years on end because I wouldn't be their God anymore. In my own family, I have to deal with it. I mean, my wife, when she came over, I'd pray for my wife, she'd get healed, we'd go on. Prayed for my wife, she'd get healed, we'd go on. Prayed for my wife, she didn't get healed. Prayed for my wife, she didn't get healed. What's going on here? The Lord said, I'm her God, not you. Now I have little children. I have to work with them on the same thing. I'm their dad. They would come to me, I'd pray for them. Whatever hurt they had would go away. Now I'm in the place where it's a lot more, hey, have you lifted that up to the Lord? And just like it was with my wife, all too often the answer is no. I want you to turn to Colossians 3. Because if I can get you to turn your eyes upon Jesus, sky's the limit, folks. The sky's the limit. You know, it was funny to me as I was thinking about this morning. You know how Jesus, when he went to his hometown, could only heal a few sick folk because of their unbelief? One of the things that happens is, you know, as he says over there, he says, a prophet is without honor except in his own country and among his own family or kin. I remember years ago at a revival in Claremont where a woman came up to Anne and just looks at her, and Robin was looking on. You're so blessed. Because she was married to Davy. Because she is married to Davy. But the thing is that inside your own house is the hardest place for that blessing to flow. And in some ways, we're a household here, folks. See, and you come to the Lord, and you come to the Lord, and, you know, the Lord does different things, and there's exciting stuff that comes on. The next thing you know, you're like the children of Israel in the desert. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die, Moses? You know, how come we don't get meat anymore? How come we don't get this? How come we don't get that? And you start seeing this murmuring and complaining that goes on. And you know what's the sad part? It's not easy to be the minister when everybody's murmuring and complaining, as you see with Moses. But you know what? The worst part, and the part that was sad for Moses, was not their murmuring and complaining against him. It was watching them be robbed of the blessings that God had for them. See, that was the hard part. The people were being robbed. I watch in this fellowship. I've watched for years in this fellowship. People be robbed. People be robbed of the joy of the Lord. People be robbed of the blessings of God. And what happens when this is happening is just like back with the children of Israel and Moses in the desert. I mean, the people, who do they blame for the fact that their things aren't going the way they want them to go? They blame the one, the minister that the Lord has for them. That's who they blame. They don't realize because they haven't set their sights high enough that they got their eyes on the wrong person. And God's not to blame. God's holding back because he's asking them. He is your God. Not me. Not Davy. Not anybody else. He is your God. And you have to set your eyes on him. And that's what Paul over here in Colossians 3. And I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to start with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now it's interesting. Let's just stop here for a moment. What is almost all your complaint about? Is it not about things on the earth? Is it not almost entirely about not getting the number of things on this earth that you think you should have, or that somebody else got something on this earth and know that you deserve it more than they do, or whatever it is? I mean, if you want to think of it, if you want to get down and look at it, isn't that the case? It's almost always about something you didn't get, somebody else is being treated differently than you, any of these different things. One of the things I've learned in the Lord is that when the Lord is not partial and he is not a respecter of persons. He does not care if you are Davy's daughter, wife, son-in-law, my child, Carter from Colorado, Scott and Gail over there in Connecticut. He does not care who you are. His blessings to you will flow directly proportionate to your faith in him and love. Every single time, every single day, every single place, he is never with even a smidgen of partiality that way. Ever. Ever. Now, I know this, both from personal experience and observation. I have never, ever in my life seen the Lord be partial in anything. Ever. Now, I've seen people think the Lord is partial or think his ministers are partial all the time. All the time. I mean, it's just amazing to me how often people think that. And in thinking that, they allow themselves to be robbed because once again, they don't have their eyes set high enough. It was funny. Years ago, Bob's talking about, you know, things to do and opportunities. You know, we have opportunities to do stuff. And, you know, we got a camp kitchen over there and we got projects around here. And, you know, it's interesting to me how many people wish somebody else would do something. I mean, just think of that for a moment. How many people wish somebody else would do something so that they don't have to do it? How many people judge how much somebody does versus how much they do and find somebody else faulting or lacking? Just think of that for a moment. I mean, is that not, if you want to look at your day, how much of your day is spent with just such thoughts? Those are awful thoughts that rob you They rob you. They steal from, Satan comes in and steals from you blind. He steals your joy. He steals your faith. He steals your hope. He steals your love. And you sit back and you wonder, why? Where's the presence of the Lord? Where's that joy? Where are those things? Well, you've just let them come in and rob you blind. See, the attitude you need to have is, you're glad to be the one who gets to do it. You are pleased to have the opportunity. You are thankful. You don't want anybody else to get there before you, but if they do, you're willing to share the blessing with them because you know it's a blessing. It's not a curse to have to serve. It's actually a blessing. And so you're glad to have the opportunity. It was funny. I mean, one of the things is, and the Lord, when I first came to the Lord, He blessed me mightily. I mean, I didn't even realize He blessed me mightily. I didn't even realize there was anything unique or different about the blessing that I had or anything, because what did I know? I didn't have any experience in anything. I was just a brand new Christian, and essentially, I had come to know the ruler of the entire universe and accepted as His son after being completely hostile to Him for my entire life, in ignorance, mind you. I didn't even believe He was real. So, I mean, He didn't seem to be offended at the fact that that was the case, praise God. He seemed to have had this experience with a few people before me. So I realized, wow, Jesus is Lord. He died for me. I remember I had spent my entire life trying to find the way out for people, because people from when I was like 4 years old, before I even made it to kindergarten, people were already looking to me to be something, to be some savior, to be some great prophet, to be something to lead people out. And I had this burden. I use it that way. I mean, I used to, my life before, unusual relative to most folks, I can remember sitting in my room weeping as a law student, just weeping because it seemed to me that nobody cared about anyone. It was true. It was true. And I would look at the situation. I just looked at the awfulness. I mean, I had seen things that most of you have never seen. I've seen some of the awfulness in this world in a level that you guys, to a certain extent, and I can tell you the words, but unless you've seen or experienced it, it's hard to fathom that people can be as bad as they are. But I mean, I've seen it, and it used to just be so overwhelming to me. I had no idea how to get out. And then one day, and I was searching hard. I mean, you guys can see, I mean, I can put some time and focus and everything on something. I think people know that about me. I mean, I will work till whatever hours of the night or whatever else to do. I did that for 28 years from a very young age. And I mean, I worked overtime for all of those years. It was like I had a single focus, had to find a way. And no matter where I looked, it seemed like everything failed. All of human history failed. Everything failed. It was all failure after failure after failure. And then I met Jesus Christ and I realized, wow, this is so simple and so perfect. Anybody can receive this. Anybody. It doesn't require traveling the world. It doesn't require intense study. It doesn't require any of those things. All it does is require you to recognize that you're a sinner, and that God sent His Son to be your Savior. And then He equips you with everything you need from there. Everything. Opens up your understanding. Gives you wisdom. Gives you power. Gives you love. Gives you grace. Gives you mercy. Gives you everything you need to go out and share it with others that they can join the team. And they get to be a part of the way out as well. I was overwhelmed. So Davey started out with a very simple command to me. You're under everybody, including my dog. Praise God. My life was easy. You know what my job was? to serve everybody. It was amazing when you start looking for opportunities to serve. It was amazing. I mean, I'd be in the kitchen doing some work at the different things, cleaned up, thought I was about done. People are laughing, watching a movie back there in the living room, and I'd be thinking, gosh, I felt sorry for them. I felt sorry for them personally because I was so abundantly blessed to be in there doing what I was doing. And so I had no, like, inclination to go there. So I'm, like, trying to think through. Gosh, Lord, I finished that. I finished this. Is there anything else I can do? And all of a sudden I'd say, well, you know what? Let me go check the laundry. I think Kim might have been doing laundry today or something like that. So I go over and look. And, of course, lo and behold, the dryer was full of clothes. Praise God I have another opportunity to do something. So me, you know, I mean, I didn't want to fold them while they were cold, so I put it back on, let them get warmed up, so when I folded them, they wouldn't be all wrinkly and everything, and I'd be looking around, what else might I be able to do? What else? Surely there's something else. And as you start, it was amazing how the Lord would just show me little thing after little thing after little thing. And all the while I'd be praying, and it was just an amazing, almost overwhelming joy every day in that as I got to look around and found things. Now, look, I mean, some of the people I was serving, you guys know. And some of the people I was serving, you guys sometimes have attitudes against. And let me tell you something, they're better now than they were then. Praise God. The thing is that I want to skip down to a verse now. And we'll skip to verse 23 for a moment in chapter 3. And it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Well, see, where's our problem? See, we see the people who get served as men, or maybe women. Lazy, good for nothing, love to get served, love all of these different things. They get everything, and me, what do I get? Robs you. You've just been robbed. I mean, you've just been mugged. You've been beaten up, left on the ground, and now you're wallowing around all upset and pissed off about it. Why is this happening? Why do they da-da-da-da-da and everything like that, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. You got mugged. You got mugged. When you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, heartily, let's look at that word for a moment. All right. In my family and those who are here, they've observed, if you wanted to look at, say, Joseph being hearty about something, it would be Lego. Corey, it might be his little remote control race car. Cheryl, it might be her gaming. We all have something that we do heartily, right? And you know what's amazing is the Lord has no problem with Joe heartily doing Lego, or Cheryl heartily doing a video game, or somebody else doing whatever it is that they do. In fact, I remember when Brother Davey was doing something heartily, and I was looking on while he was apparently at least paying no attention to me for about an hour. He was heartily playing a video game years ago, and the Lord gave me a revelation in that moment of him that has been a blessing and a sustainer to me for 24 years, maybe 25 now. While he was heartily, and one of the things you'll notice about Brother Davey is whatever he's doing, if he's eating, does he not eat heartily as unto the Lord? I mean, with particular attention to every detail associated with that food? It's heartily. If he's doing something else, it's heartily. Everything is done heartily. And the Lord is pleased with that. He's pleased when we do things heartily. He's pleased when there's something that brings us that much joy, like a meal or a video game or Lego. He's pleased with that. But he would be very pleased as well if that heartily was the way we did all things unto him, as unto him. See, when you're doing it heartily as unto the Lord, you don't have time to be thinking about the person that you're serving and their deservedness, or what they may have done to deserve your service to them, or any other such thing. Because you don't even see them other than as the Lord, and therefore you want to pay particular attention to what will be pleasing to them. You know, if such and such would like Old Bay with this, you bring the Old Bay. And if somebody else would like the Conrico, you bring the Conrico. And if somebody else would like a glass of sweet tea, you bring the sweet tea. And if somebody else would prefer a glass of water, maybe with a little lemon in it, you bring the glass with a little bit of lemon in it. And you thank God. You follow what I'm saying? See, when you lift your eyes up unto the Lord, then of the Lord you receive the blessing. I remember years ago when Joseph was maybe a month old, if that. My wife was struggling at that moment. And me, as her husband, as husbands are wont to do, want to fix the problem. And everything I tried to fix it failed. And when I realized that everything I tried to do failed, finally, the Lord quickened me that there was something else going on that I could not fix. All right, and she was tired and she was exhausted and all of these things, but the level of service that was required by a little baby was beyond anything she had ever experienced. One of her first testimonies was she learned how selfish she was when she had a child. Selfishness will rob you of the good things of God. So I had a little conversation with my wife. And I told her I could not fix this problem. That joy was a thing you received by faith, by going forward and doing that which God would have you to do. Well, she went forward and did it, and the Lord restored her that afternoon. That very afternoon. But you get what I'm saying, folks? We want the things like the joy. We want this, but we also want the things of this world. We want the things everybody else has. Right? So we go off and we do these things. And we don't realize that, look, if we will serve God, it will be God's pleasure to include in our lives those things which will most particularly and perfectly bless us. So it'll be something different for me, because that will perfectly bless me, than it'll be for you. And God knows that. He actually knows that. He actually cares enough about you to know just that. So if you will lift your sights unto him, forget about one another and what one another are doing, one another's merits, one another's whatever, and make Jesus indeed your very Lord, and you will give up your life for him, and you will go forward pleased to be a servant. It's amazing how many people say, oh, if I can just be a servant in his kingdom, you know, a door sweeper or whatever, I'll be pleased. Oh, really? Oh, really? I hear people say those kinds of things, but oh, really? Then how come you're not willing to do that here? Let us change our minds, and let us indeed look unto the Lord, from whom all good gifts come. Amen. Amen.
Where are you going? Get back over here. I'm going to do something I haven't done before. We're going to co-preach.
We're going to co-preach.
That's okay. It means you got to listen to the Lord to know exactly what to say at the right time without me telling you.
Okay, praise God.
Not really. I trust the Lord. I don't trust you or me. You talked about calling Jesus Lord. And the thing you failed to gather is that before you have Jesus as a Lord, you already have a Lord. And it's not you. You're born into sin. It's a fact. It was the curse brought on by Adam. And Satan is the ruler or God of this earth. So he is your Lord. And it doesn't matter whether you go to church. It doesn't matter whether you go to the Hindu temple or whether you practice, what's that stuff they would eat? Yoga. I always want to say yogurt. They're both pretty sickening. Yoga looks like yogurt tastes. They just try to make it look pretty. Doesn't work. It's when you choose to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that's when you can break free of the other. That's why over in John chapter 8, verse 36, go ahead and read it, Steve.
If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Now, see, the word indeed is important here. Now, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. If we stop there, it has a meaning. But if you carry it on to the next word, it has another meaning. The first meaning is you're cut loose from the first guy. The second meaning is you're protected by the second guy. Do you hear me? If you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, to serve Him in all that you do, then as a Lord, it is His responsibility to watch over you, care for you, and protect you. That's why in the old days and the feudalism, everybody put themselves under a lord. If they didn't, they were cow fodder. They could be killed, beaten, sold into slavery, whatever anybody wanted to do. So the whole idea was find the biggest, baddest, nicest Lord you could find and put yourself under Him. Then nobody would touch you. You understand what I'm saying? So here, when we put ourselves under Jesus, He is our Lord. He protects us. And of course, you get this people that say, well, I've been free all my life. I'm not, nobody owns me. Now, of course, if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll understand you're an idiot. Amen. Just like them saying that we've been under bondage to no man. There's a Roman soldier standing over there with a sword and a shield. What is he doing there? Picking his nose? So, play your games. If you want to. Or get serious. Because there's no other way to do it. There is no other way to do it. And how do you know? How do you know if you're free indeed? When you stop doing the things you know you shouldn't do. When the attitude stops. When your attitude is to do what is right in the Lord and not do the other. Amen? Amen. Your turn.
Praise God. Well, may the Lord bless you, folks, because this is really what it's all about. And we get this place going out here at Grace Ranch in particular, where this is what we walk. You're going to see the seats here filled up. Because that'll mean there'll be a place where people can come and there'll be examples they can follow. See, we're actually to be an example unto others of the way of the Lord. And if it's just one or two, it's going to remain like this. But if it's all of you in here, you're going to see this place filled up. You're going to see people learning and going forth. Some of those going forth may be you. Amen.
perfect plan for you, Lord. Don't know where I'd be. I could fill the hours, but never fill the need. I would still be searching, looking for the truth. But I found a new life that only comes from you. Everything I do, let it be in your name. Let it be for your glory. Let it be for you. Everything I say, let it be in your name. Let it be to your glory. Let it be for your sake. Cause I wanna please you. Everything I do. I want the world to see you. When they look at me, I want the world to hear you in every word I speak. So let my words be your words and my actions too. So they'll find a new life that I have found in you. Everything I do, let it be in your name. Everything I say, let it be in your name. Let it be to your glory. Let it be for your sake. Cause I wanna please you in everything I do. You fill up my empty heart. You give me strength so that I can go on. You're the reason that my life has changed. Everything I say, let it be in your name. Let it be to your glory. Let it be for your sake. Cause I wanna please you. And everything I do, let it be in your name. Let it be for your glory. Let it be for you. Everything I say, let it be in your name. Let it be to your glory. Let it be for your sake. Cause I wanna please you.
I'm training my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm training my sickness. I'm training my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Pressed but not crushed, persecuted but abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Blessed beyond the curse, and his promise will endure, for his joy's gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrow.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. All of the promises of those songs are ours for but believe. And Lord, may you help us to set indeed our affections on things above and help us, Lord, to do all things heartily as unto thee. And Lord, may you bless us with that freedom that only you can give and make us free indeed. We pray and ask these things, Lord, that we may then go and show others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.